Well, thank you, our dear and precious intercessors, those who love America. Thank you. Thank you for loving America. Thank you for loving God. And thank you for putting them together in an atmosphere of prayer to help America fulfill all that He's calling her to fulfill. Tonight, I felt very strongly to share with you from Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 17. For probably about a week now, I've been traveling through my memory banks, restoring things that I have written here and written there regarding visitations and spiritual growth that occurred as a result of those visitations. And I think I can safely say that most, if not all, came through impartation of union. Those were our Lord's words, not mine. He has just in this last week begun to show me many visitations that at the time He had not taught me, He had not trained me, helped me to understand what union meant, union of the believer with the Lord, and what to expect from it. So I would have these visitations. He would impart things, well, Himself into my spirit, and in doing so, give me much information. But you intellectualize this stuff until you start feeling time after time after time again that something unique is happening, in so much that you experience a visitation, and the next thing you know, you can't put words on how much you feel like you've matured. You don't know how to describe it in years. Sometimes you don't know how to describe it. You just feel more mature. And you find yourself reacting to things differently. You find yourself understanding things. And in some respects, as I have been prophesied to many times by pastors and by prophets, who said that the Lord had given me the gift of abnormally high amounts of revelation in my lifetime. They were not just talking about that part that had passed, but that part that was coming. And of course, the Lord had told me that as well. One of those in particular that mentioned this to me, along with some important teaching and training that I really needed, was Bob Jones. And so, though if I go through, I'm not going to go through it all tonight, but if I did, and it would seem like a bit much, or it would seem to make you so happy you just can't wait till God will do that for you, I want you to know that my excessive amounts of revelation can be likened to Paul, who himself was given excessive amounts of revelation. And I was told many years ago that what the Lord did to Paul, he was going to do with me. And so Paul was given permission to discuss small amounts of things with me in a visit. And I'm not going to go through all of those tonight, but it truly has been amazing that the things that he said, the things that he spoke, has come to pass. Some are still coming to pass and may for the rest of my Christian life. I don't know. But this touch with our senior brother has been a wonderful experience. I think I've only seen him about four times. But each time, and I can also say that each time, each communication has not, you know, been an elongated communication. It was rather brief, actually. He was just sent to speak whatever to me that the Lord wanted him to speak, and then he had to leave. So it wasn't a matter of minutes, but it wasn't a matter of hours either. So to have had the privilege of speaking to our elder brother, now that he's gone to heaven and seen in fullness what God spoke to him so many times about when he was here on this earth, must be a tremendous blessing to him. He must still, even today, be in awe, continually being taken to a place of awe as he meets one new insider revelation after another that he spoke about here. He's a very humble man. Of course, everyone in heaven is. He's a very humble man. He's a very learned man. He was... Not only did he have a very high IQ, and I don't want to tell you what I have read that specialists in that field say what they expect his IQ probably was, because it really isn't important. But also, because of his love for God, his want to connect with Jesus and understand the kingdom, he was so passionate about it. He just couldn't let it go. It was something he embraced, and being a student, literally his whole life, he took on Christianity with that same kind of intellectual prowess as well as emotional dedication and spiritual awareness, which is the most important part. So I'm saying all that because Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, and what I hope to be able to convey to you over the next several weeks is how important his writings are for today's church. I've had many visitations with the Lord when I've taught on Ephesians, on Romans, Galatians. It's just been awesome. And it seems so wonderful to him to have the privilege of being able to bring Paul in on some of this. And of course, I thought so too. So with that in mind, I want you to know I'm going to be going kind of off track a little bit here because I'm not going to be speaking so much prophetically as trying to help you understand a little of what God has done to enable you to grow into a person of spiritual stature. And what happens when his kindness, his provision meets our need. So with that, shall we move on? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into the mysteries and secrets and the deep and intimate knowledge of him. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones, and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. These few scriptures kind of give us a lead in to what he's going to spend some time talking about. But I'm just going to talk about a few things that are in these particular scriptures. I was out actually walking one day with my very dear friend, Bonnie. She was also my secretary when I was living in Omaha. We would go for a walk in a beautiful, beautiful park about five times a week when I was in town. So we were walking, and she asked me, and what we would do frequently is I would teach her out of the word while we walked. So she pulled some scripture out, and she said, please teach me these scriptures and what they mean. That was verse 17, 18, and 19. And I said, sure, I'll do that. So I read it, and I began to expound on it, when immediately, I mean, in a snap of a finger, I found myself in heaven before the throne of our precious, dear, marvelous, wonderful, majestic, noble, pure, holy Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know. Some people can seem so almost untouched by their experiences, their holy experiences with the Lord. You know, they sound so arrogant and so self-assured, and I'm not judging them. I'm just saying that this is how it sounds. That may not have been their hearts at all. And, you know, they would make jokes that they really shouldn't be making in reflection of what they were reading. But for me, to stand before Jesus Christ anywhere, here on earth, in heaven, to stand before the Father, anywhere, is so holy, it takes time for me to be able to talk comfortably about that experience. I'm just so in awe of him, and even more so, our Father. So there I am in front of the throne of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm standing in awe. I mean, I'm dumbstruck. A second ago, I was talking to Bonnie on the path, and now I'm in heaven in the face of Jesus Christ. And he began to quote these passages. He started at verse 16, went down to, I don't know, 2021. And all the time that he was talking to me, I was being bathed by waves of light. You know how, I live in Washington, but I've been several times to the beach in southern Washington and in Oregon. And there are places that when the water begins to come in the evening, when it crashes against the rocks up there, water will just fly many feet above your head. You're already standing, you know, on a blacktop area that you can pull over to watch the beautiful sight. So you're already 6 or 7 feet easily above what is happening down below. But when the water hits those rocks, it is breathtaking. I love to take people there because it is so beautiful. It's breathtaking. Waves can be beautiful, but you know, when you start being inundated by waves of light, there's nothing like it. Not only is it beautiful, and before this experience, I don't remember knowing that light could be liquid. But I sure came away from this experience with that knowledge and understanding. So all the time the Lord is quoting this scripture, these scripture passages to me, these waves, W-A-V-E-S, waves of light, liquid light, would come out of him and pour down upon and into me. I was experiencing an impartation of a certain union that would come to pass, come to being a very vital part of dwelling in union with Jesus Christ forever. And so, but as this light keeps pouring down upon me, I'm led to know what I'm experiencing, what I'm receiving, is exactly what Paul prayed for. That they be granted a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. How? By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. What a prayer to pray, and what an event to experience. the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Well, if you meet heavenly hosts, as I have met so many of them, the spirit of wisdom is one angelic being. The spirit of revelation is another angelic being. The one who gives us the revelation and the ability to discern these things is yet another holy spiritual being. And so Paul is praying. Now, whether you want to call them intelligences, holy intelligences, holy angels, holy beings, just use the word spirit as Paul did, as long as they all mean the same thing. But if you want to call them any of those things, please just understand that there was a reason for God to create these beings. I've seen every one of these beings a number of times. They all look different. They all, for instance, their hair is different. One example would be wisdom. And depending upon how much wisdom this being is granted to bear, goes the length of his hair, and his hair is auburn. But it is so long that it trails behind him like a bridal veil. So if someone were to say to me, what color is wisdom? I would have to say auburn, because that was the color of his hair. It was very beautiful. And that is his only calling, is to bring wisdom, the wisdom of God, to the saints of God, to whom he is sent. Paul is praying and admitting that he's praying to these people in Ephesus. We don't know if he talked about these things when he was there, or if he just waited, knowing he'd be writing them when they were ready for more and higher information, higher revelation. We don't know. The Bible doesn't seem to indicate that. But here he is, now speaking about the angelic kingdom, the kingdom of holy intelligence that God uses to do what? Well, according to the Bible, to minister to the saints. So Paul is expressing a great desire that God would send these beings, whatever you want to call them, these holy beings, to the Ephesian people. And then he says that they may teach them, by them having the eyes of their heart flooded with light. And I'm sure you have read that and thought, what in the world does that mean? You might remember that before the Lord went on the cross and was resurrected, man's spirit, in terms of its connection to the kingdom of light or to the Holy One of Israel, Yeshua, or the Father, anything pertaining to that kingdom was from that time until Christ actually coming was cut off. Their spirits, there are two Greek words that depict death. One of those Greek words depicts death meaning totally separate from life, period. It's the word that we would use to speak of someone who died and would never live again. They're dead to temporal life. The other speaks of not a death necessarily to temporal life, but a death to holy spiritual life. That connection to God is dead. And so they are blind, they're deaf, and they're dumb. And their spirits are given over to the kingdom of darkness. So when they're born again, now hear me on this. When they're born again, part of the activity that needs to go on is that the eyes of their heart, which once were blind, now be filled with light. Being filled with light, their connection to God is reopened. Their understanding of holy things, their knowledge, their revelation, their wisdom is reopened, because the eyes of their spiritual heart has been reopened. When you look at this, it seems to say that Paul is praying either that the eyes of their heart, the eyes of their spirit be reopened in respect to, well, I brought a textbook today, and the writer of this textbook is Wiest. He is my favorite theologian. I think he's wonderful. But this is, I think, how he sees it. I want to read it to you. Paul prays that God might give the spirit of wisdom and revelations to the Ephesians. Are we to understand the word spirit, which here is without the article, to refer to the human spirit or the Holy Spirit? The Ephesian saints had both. How could God give them something they already had? Vincent and expositors say that it is the Holy Spirit to which reference is being made. Alfred says, certainly would not be right to take pneuma, that is spirit, here as solely the Holy Spirit, nor as solely the spirit of man, rather as a complex idea of the spirit of man indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, that as such, it is a special gift of wisdom, not which gives wisdom, but which possesses it by its character, to which appertains wisdom. And the revelation, that revelation which belongs to all Christians, the word pneuma has among its various uses meaning a disposition or influence which fills and governs the soul of anyone. What Paul is praying for is that God might so work in the lives of these Ephesian saints that they will have the spiritual wisdom and a revelation from him that is the result of the Holy Spirit's work of energizing their human spirit. So what he's saying here, he's trying to reason between two theological camps. Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it man's spirit? What is he saying? What should we understand by what Paul is saying? And what I'm trying to place before you is the possibility that Paul is speaking that a man's newly born again spirit has also to have his spiritual eyes opened. Do you understand me? A man who is newly born again, to have his spiritual eyes opened completely, that too is a process. You don't start out with open spiritual eyes. You start out with them closed. But little by little, they are opened and able to receive wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the like. It's like a baby. I can remember when my daughter was just a tiny baby. And the doctor said, "Now, Mama, we want you to know that what the medical community believes at this time is that a baby this young does not have the ability to see things as clearly as it will be seeing them, say, in a year from now. It is a progress of time." Now, whether or not they still stand with that philosophy, I don't know. But it sure gives a kind of good explanation to what Paul is trying to say. We do know that once the spiritual eyes are reopened, it does take time for them to be able to see and to discern. There's so many things I could say about this one subject. I could probably give at least one or two teachings, whole teachings on it, but I'm not going to. But he's praying that this, which needs to happen between the believer and between the Spirit of God, will happen, that the revelations, the truths that God wants to impart into the spirit of this believer can not only be imparted, but can be understood. Then it says the spiritual wisdom and revelation is in the knowledge of Him. The word knowledge is epignosis. Now this word, I've shared this with you before, this word epignosis is more than just head knowledge. That would be gnosis. But it is an experiential knowledge. So that not only have you received, you might say, the black and the white of it, but you have experienced it. I saw salt. I now know what salt looks like. How does it taste? What does it do? So the person who has gained epignosis about salt not only knows what salt looks like, but knows what it tastes like. And most would probably say this is better on a steak than it is on my tongue. So what he is saying here is he is praying for more than head knowledge for the Ephesians, but an experiential knowledge. Now, my brothers and sisters, I've got to be very, very honest with you. It's one thing for a person who has been given to receive a lot of visitations or a lot of visual revelations. Most will contend that if you're not receiving those kinds of communications, then you're limited. But I say not so. I say that if your spirit is astute and your mind is astute in spiritual things, you can receive through your spirit man epignosis, which is experiential knowledge, so that it becomes more than just knowledge of the mind, but knowledge having been experienced. And that experience has come into you to become part of you and who you can or will be as a Christian. So these are beautiful prayers, and let me just go through his explanation of this prayer for just one second. That the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, might give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the sphere of a full experiential knowledge of Him. God wants you to have that. And if you're not experiencing it, I want to encourage you, based on the Word of God, to start asking for it. Ask Him to give you the spirit of experiential knowledge of God and His kingdom, that you can understand Him. And I've got more I could say tonight, but I need to cut it off, and I'll try to pick it up next week. My plan is to help you understand that God has or is in the process of trying to bring you into a place where you can become so mature spiritually that relating to the things of the Spirit will be as natural to you as a non-believer experiences with temporal things. And if that's something that would be likable to you, please, please start praying for it. God would love to give it to you. Thank you.